Think about an experience of reunion.
The embrace in the arrivals terminal at the airport.
The relatives crowded around the barbecue, full plates in hand.
The grandchild standing at the doorstep, smiling.
The circle of friends in the school hallway in early September.
Think of an experience of reunion.
Are you picturing one?
What do you see?
Now, think of that experience of reunion and try to multiply it by 100.
No, by 1,000.
And then you will have something closer, if not close, to the Easter story.
Think about that experience of reunion.
The discovery of the empty tomb.
The mad dash to see it once the word got out.
Angels appearing, the tears, and the agony of the confusion.
Think about the moment that he appeared, right there in the garden.
The moment that Mary turned around and saw Jesus.
The moment that she realized who he was and ran towards him.
Think about that experience of reunion. This Easter, we are looking for the hope of reunion.
For the friends whom we've missed so dearly.
For the family whom we haven't seen and haven't held for so long now.
For the big backyard get-togethers.
For the cross-country flights to see family.
This Easter, we are looking for the hope of reunion.
And it is coming.
Like it was at the start for Mary and the other disciples, we can't quite see it clearly yet.
Like it was for them, we still find ourselves in the midst of chaos and confusion.
But it is coming.
And as we look for that hope, we hold in our hearts the hope of that first Easter reunion.
That experience of reunion times 1,000.
That capital R reunion.
We hold in our hearts hope of Jesus saying Mary's name in the garden.
The hope of her hearing it and seeing him.
The hope of Jesus who bridged the distance brought on by death.
The hope of Jesus who returned after being away.
The hope of resurrection, presence after the absence.
Good morning and welcome to our service for April 4th, Easter Sunday. I would like to extend welcome to each one of you watching, but especially those who might be watching for the first time. While our in-person services remain on hold, we're grateful and glad to be sharing ministry by other means, including recording our services for online viewing, as we're doing today. So thank you again for joining us today. Were we together in this space, I would say, He is risen, and you would respond with, He is risen indeed. I'll trust that you've said that from where you are today. Certainly experiencing a wild mixture of feelings these days, especially as our province now enters into another round of lockdown. Definitely a great deal of concern in the air about the situation, and strong desire to be doing what we can to care for one another in this time. But in the midst of all that, which can all feel so very heavy, focusing today on the joy and hope of the resurrection. Easter, we know, has been celebrated through many years and decades and centuries, and having been so through many difficult situations and seasons. And so we celebrate it all the same today. I would encourage you, if you've not done so already, to see our bulletin for announcements about these upcoming days and weeks. If you've not received that and would like to, please contact our office and we can get you on one of those lists. As pastors, just a reminder that we'll be working from home these days, as we have been doing, and can be contacted there through the numbers you'll find in the directory. We'll note that with it being the holiday weekend, some of our usual online activities like Sunday school and our post-service discussion group won't be happening, but look forward to those in the weeks to come, and otherwise be looking again to the bulletin for details about upcoming activities and events. I share these words as our call to worship for today. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. At this time, we'll hear the song, In Christ Alone. And invite you to read along with the words, certainly fitting for this Easter Sunday, and to sing along if you'd like. Would you please join me in prayer? God, you give us new life. Through you, our old and sinful selves have been put to death. Through you, our lives have been buried with Christ. And through you, we have been raised with him to new life. This is by your power and for your glory. God, we pray for new life today, for restoration of relationships that have been strained by this time, for renewal of souls that have been worn down by weariness and waiting, for the recovery of hope after so many lost opportunities and changed plans, for the repair and the healing of hearts after such a difficult year. God, we see your new life all around us as well, springing up in the sprouting bulbs and the budding branches, in the rising sun and the slowly warming days, in the gift of newborn grandchildren and great-grandchildren, in the birds that return by their northbound migration. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this resurrection morning, for the promise of the empty grave. We thank you that we're able to share together in this way from the quiet safety of our own homes. We thank you for health, for shelter, and for tables full of food. There's much we're missing this Easter, God, but you have provided for us abundantly. We pray that you bless our time as we celebrate in smaller ways this weekend. May our times be filled with joy and with your holy presence, even as we adjust our plans once again. We ask that you bless the gifts that have been given these days, these weeks, and ask that you bless the rest of our time now as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now hear a recorded song, Low in the Grave He Lay.
I'll be reading from John 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you for reading, Miriam. I greet you also with the words, "He is risen," and I hope you respond, "He is risen indeed." On this Easter morning, I share with you from Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer, that you may be filled to the full measure of God's goodness. Years ago, I recall a New Testament instructor placing a glass jar on his desk. "Is this jar empty or full?" I was thinking this is one of those philosophical questions, and so while the rest of the class had responded, "It's empty," I called out, "No, it's full." "Why?" "Well, the jar is full of air." "It is full, it just depends on what you're looking for." The instructor must have thought, there's always got to be one of those in the class. Anyway, he went on with the demonstration, and so he picked up a large container of marbles and poured them into the jar. "Is the jar full or empty?" This time there was a mixed response from the class. So then the instructor picked up a jar of water and poured the water over the marbles and filled the glass to the top. The jar was on a shallow dish, so when it overfilled, the dish caught some of the spill. "Now is the jar full or empty?" The class responded resoundingly, "Full," except for me. Instructor asked, "Are you sure?" "Yes." Me, I kept my mouth shut. The instructor then picked up a container of salt and slowly began pouring salt into the water, into the marbles, and into the jar. The water absorbed the salt. Is the jar empty or full? Exhausted, the class answered, yes, it's full. Me, I didn't say anything. The instructor then took a penny from his pocket and lowered it into the jar of salt, water, and marbles. It's physics. The surface tension of the water at the top of the jar allows it to crest as the penny was lowered into it. Further in Galatians, the Apostle Paul tells us that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son. And so on this Easter morning, may you be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. In the gospel reading shared with us by Miriam, there are three main characters, and Jesus is not one of them. Mary Magdalene is one of the women who stood near the cross while Jesus died. Sometime earlier, Jesus had liberated her from seven demons. Peter, the fisherman, the disciple of Jesus. Peter, who said he would die with Jesus, and then a short time later denied ever having known him. The third character, the other disciple, is unnamed. Strong speculation that this other disciple is John, the author of the gospel. But it could be someone else. And this disciple's true identity remains elusive. Three main characters, three key witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. According to John's gospel, Mary Magdalene goes alone to the tomb early, while it's still dark. She's in deep sorrow over the death of the one who had saved her, who had reorientated her life. And there at the tomb, she sees that the stone has been removed. Disbelief. She runs to tell Peter and the other disciple. And those two disciples, they race to the tomb to see for themselves. And they find the tomb empty, other than the strips of linen that had been used to wrap the dead body of Jesus. Peter and the other disciple, they head back to town. Mary lingers at the scene of the supposed crime. She assumes Jesus' body's been stolen, and she's overcome with emotion beyond grief. Stunned, she again looks into the tomb. She needs to confirm that it's empty, that he's actually not there. But this time she finds it full, crowded, two angels. And seemingly indifferent to her sorrow, they ask, "Woman, why are you crying?" Mary's grief only deepens as she turns to leave. Immediately, she sees a gardener nearby, a likely suspect. And she accuses him, well, maybe not so strongly, but she accuses him of relocating the body of Jesus. When the gardener says only her name, the course of world history changes in a moment. A second time, Mary now leaves the garden, running again to the grief-stricken, fearing for their lives, disciples, and she says to him, "I've seen the Lord. The tomb was empty, and yet it was full. Full of God's promise, full of hope, full of new life." And so while we have lived with so much discouragement in the past year, so much distance from our loved ones, so much isolation, so much loneliness and grief, It's like looking into that empty tomb. Thinking of your day, the future. Do you feel, like me, a sense of emptiness at the prospects of life may not get back to normal? While we wait for the vaccines to be effective, while we wait for the pandemic emergency measures to be lifted instead of tightened, we have a sense of bewilderment. And it's much like the disciples who were hit with the sense when Mary said to them, "I've seen the Lord." Really? And at Mary's announcement, I'm sure the disciples were astonished with bewilderment. In a dramatization of this scene that I saw in a movie once, one of the disciples, when he hears Mary's comment, simply says to the side, "Women." To which Mary says, "Now what's that supposed to mean?" And after a few moments of a silent standoff, Mary says, "He told me to tell you, and now I've told you." And then she leaves. She saw, she heard, she touched the risen Jesus. Through history, stories abound of people who've been resurrected from death. Among those stories, debates arise as to whether the situation was a true resurrection or whether it was a resuscitation. And these debates usually come to a draw, with one side questioning the other's degree of faith. And such stories are reported by both secular and Christian healers throughout the ages. All such stories, miracles. But Jesus alone is resurrected with a new body, one that does not die. Through the ages, all the miraculously raised people later died. Jesus is the only exception. And the empty tomb speaks volumes of fullness. Fullness of God's promise, fullness of hope, and fullness of new life. After Mary left the disciples, John's gospel tells us that Jesus appeared to them again, to all of them, except Thomas, who wasn't there, but a week later, when he was, hence the often used label, doubting Thomas. And from Mary's encounter, one might assume that she continued to believe and sought the risen Jesus. As the first eyewitness to the risen Lord, Mary's announcement to us would be along the line of hearing the news today. The pandemic is over. It's over. Ah. If it were true, we'd no longer have to wear masks in public. We would not have to keep our distance from others. We could resume life as we knew it previous to a year ago. But will life ever be the same again? The end of the pandemic will come as welcomed news when it happens. Yet the resurrection of Jesus is really good news. And for those who believe, life is never the same again. In the fullness of the empty tomb, God shares his promise. It was prior to the birth of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. There are echoes of the prophet Isaiah saying that the virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And upon the ascension of Jesus, he said to his disciples, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." Coming and going, Jesus announces the promise to be with us It's God's resurrection promise to be with you. Fulfillment of the Psalms, which also say, the Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. In the fullness of an empty tomb, God shares hope. In the past year, we've lived with deep desire for hope, hope that life will change. This is not new. It's not about dealing with a pandemic, but it's hoping that life will somehow change. And in a vast variety of ways, we each experience the impact of things that cause pain, sin, and death. And we, at times, painfully hope for life to be different. The Christian hope is somehow, mysteriously, that the empty tomb conquered sin and death, and our reality is that we live with sin and death every day. Life has a way of leaving us with scars, most of which are not visible. Our hope in Jesus has a way of healing the unseen, leaving us as bewildered as Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb. There, in the fullness of the empty tomb, God shares new life. If Mary Magdalene is the Mary whom Jesus drove out the seven demons, she experienced a new life long before she stumbled upon the empty tomb. And as significant and critical as the empty tomb is for Christian faith, interesting, Mary doesn't stay there. Interesting that the disciples also, who made their way to the empty tomb, they didn't stay there. They didn't make the empty tomb into tourist attraction, a place to show others as a means of inviting them to believe. Because new life is not to be lived at an empty tomb, but to be lived in the fullness of life itself. And that's not empty. When there's so much happening in the world for us to become discouraged and maybe even angry about, you and I are invited to follow Jesus as a means of rejecting and denying the powers of evil that seek to wreak havoc, pain, and suffering. And the more we follow Jesus, the fuller becomes the empty tomb. While others see an emptiness to life, the empty tomb is God's promise, God's hope, God's new life to the full in Christian faith. John, sometimes called him Little John, 1 John, 2 and 3 John, close to the end of the Bible. 1 John 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. I close with these words of Frederick Buechner. Jesus rose. A few saw him briefly, talked with him. If it's true, there's nothing left to say. If it's not true, there's nothing left to say. For believers and unbelievers both, life has never been the same again. And for some, neither has death. God's grace and peace be with you in the fullness of God's love. Amen. Thank you, Aaron and Tommy and Marion, for reading, and for the tech team upstairs. Let's see, Ed, Ron, Dutch, and somebody else there. Megan's there. Thank you very much for your assistance and support for making these services possible. Next Sunday, we are going to begin a new worship series entitled Fellowship of Difference, taken from the book by Scott McKnight. I hope you'll join us for this new exciting series, and wish you God's blessings as you celebrate the risen Christ today. And now, as you go into the rest of your day, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.